Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you would, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I said last week we were on part one of our message, and we've actually, this is four in a series on being part of God's army, being part of God's soldiers. And we use different metaphors, as the Apostle Paul did, from the Scriptures. But this morning I want to pick up directly from last week's theme about make your choice. Will you read that with me, please? Make your choice, part two. The Scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, and I'd like you to see it in your own Bible. Make an asterisk there. I will have it from the New King James up on the screen. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that it may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Paul is imprisoned for the second time in Rome. This time, as he understands and as he anticipates, he will not come out again this time alive. He's been abandoned by many. But his son in the faith, Timothy, will be coming shortly to visit him. Much has changed since Paul's first imprisonment in Rome, as you recall. The first imprisonment, he was under house arrest. Remember, how long was he there for? 2 years. He was under house arrest, and they gave him freedom to receive people, and he was in a rented house, and he led tons of people, including most of the Praetorian Guard, or many of the Praetorian Guard, the special soldiers of Caesar, to the Lord. Now it's different. Nero is the emperor on the throne in Rome. He's a horrible, I cannot emphasize it enough, he is a horrible, wicked, unbalanced emperor demanding worship. He was on the throne of Rome from A.D. 54 to A.D. 68. Literally responsible for the beginning of a horrific Christian persecution. Half of Rome, if you recall, is destroyed by fire in July of A.D. 64. And there is at this time then mounting suspicion that Nero himself caused it. You've heard the old phrase, Rome burns while Nero fiddles, or Nero fiddles while Rome burns. The mounting suspicion is that he's responsible. And so what did he have to do? He had to come up with a scapegoat to take the blame. And he put it squarely on the shoulders of unpopular Christians. Unpopular because they would not bow the knee nor the heart to worship Caesar. They would not worship the emperor. Persecution becomes severe. At times it had not been so bad. But right now, as of this writing, it is blisteringly hot and troublesome. Paul returns from Spain in A.D. 66. His enemies use the official Roman position against Christianity to their advantage, fearing for their own lives. The Asian believers abandon Paul as he is arrested again. They don't support him. After his arrest, he has no support. It's very different than the first time around. The Mamertine prison, there is a part marked out. This is actually probably a little prettier picture than what it really is. This is a picture of it in Italy, in Rome. And I asked a friend of mine who was guiding us through Rome, there's only one place I want to go. You can take tours all day long in some of the most glorious spots with some of the most wonderful artwork in the world. We did that too. It was magnificent. But there was only one place I really wanted to go. I wanted to see where Paul had spent his last days in prison. And I said, do they know where that is? He looks at me and goes, absolutely. And they went to the Mamertine prison. And you walk down a set of stairs and you look out of this carved out of the rock, chiseled out of the rock, dark, wet, cave-like place. They now have a nice little podium set up and a placard where Paul spent his last days. But it wasn't like that on the time as he laid on a cold floor with his friends having abandoned him. This man's a brilliant man. Most of the New Testament was written by the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul. And now he's considered an evildoer because he preaches Jesus. Now, listen. Did you hear what I just said? He's considered an evildoer because he preaches Jesus. I'd like to welcome you to 2016. Where people that attempt to share the love of Jesus, people that attempt to speak into a horrific tragedy that breaks the heart of God, I'm convinced. Evil prevailed in that moment. But right now, by the grace of God, you see the glory of Jesus being lifted up as Spirit-filled Christians and churches. And I don't know if you've ever heard of Chick-fil-A. They are roasting Chick-fil-A because they say they have a very hate-filled perspective. It's not a hate-filled perspective. The one who owns Chick-fil-A simply believes in the gospel of Jesus and in the Word of God that says homosexuality is a sin. You speak the truth in love. That doesn't mean you hate people. You tell the truth in love, and if they don't want to hear you, you just keep loving. You do your best to keep loving. But because he believes what the Bible teaches about it, they have literally fried them. Did you hear about, with as much proclamation as the other, that on the day after what had happened, the local Chick-fil-A down there, it was closed and lots of businesses were closed. They decided there are needy people down here and they opened their doors and they made tons of food and tons of sweet tea and they carried it out on the streets to first responders, to people in hospitals, people who were being treated and people who were in need. There's the gospel in action, and you don't hear about that very much. Paul was in a day similar to ours. Of course, it was a lot worse. But I just have to tell you before I go much further, I have had a very major burden on my heart these last several weeks with these messages. And, you know, some of you have been with me for a while. I felt it responsible to preach about and make you aware, share the information on the four blood moons. I don't care if people were invested in the four blood moons or not. I wasn't invested in it being the end of the world. People tried to twist that way too. I wasn't saying, nor was Jonathan Kahn, who brought that to the body of Christ first, saying it was the end of the world. But I must tell you, a lot of things have begun to happen negatively since those incidences occurred. But here's what I'm all about. Us being prepared as the people of God to stand strong in Him, in His Word, in His grace, in His mercy, to keep loving, to keep giving, to keep preaching, to keep sharing, to keep believing for healing, to keep bringing His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, to keep reaching out. The Bible says to keep instructing those who oppose themselves, who may not like it, but we're here to be salt and light in a dark and dying place. And church, our mission hasn't changed. Our day is more important than ever. So don't let your voice be stilled, even if it leads to a dark and lonely, cold prison of people pushing you away. It may not be in a brick and mortar prison. It may not be in a place dug out of the cave. It may be. Some of you go to places where it is very much on fire like that. We may not see that day here. We might. If we do, will you stand for Jesus? You can say to me all you want, you're a bad news preacher, Kevin. I'm not. I do my best before the Lord. And I have a a sense of the Spirit of God knocking on the door of my heart saying, you must prepare. You must do what you can to help the people of God be biblically literate, to know what the Word of God says, because in that hour, it won't be the poem you memorized in junior high that will sustain you. It will be the Word of God. And it will be the family of God who will stand with you in that hour. It will be the Holy Spirit who sustains you in that hour. So thanks for taking this journey with me. The Mamertine prison. And what Paul determined to do was to keep going. Keep persevering. Keep trusting Jesus. And bringing His Word, please say the last phrase with me, no matter what happens. He tells Timothy to keep the gifts of God stirred up inside. Look at the scripture. Therefore, verses 6 through 9 of 2 Timothy 1, I remind you, he's talking to Timothy, to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Say it with me, church. God has not given us a spirit of fear. This isn't about fear. This is about moving forward to a people that may not always like it, but you keep right on loving. You keep right on serving. You keep right on sharing. You keep right on praying for them. You keep right on being the living testimony of Jesus. Not of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Therefore, I want you to see it, and I want you to read it with me. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Do you understand that Paul is writing this out of the brokenness of his spirit because nearly everybody has abandoned him? And he's writing to Timothy, who's going to go through the same fire. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Please don't be ashamed. But share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. There are times people may reject you, your family may reject you, and other people may not be able to feel the pain of what you're feeling. But if you share it with the family of God, we can carry it with you. They say a burden shared is a burden halved. Share with me in the sufferings for the gospel, according to the power of God, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Not according to our works. Who just said that? Lynn, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. This isn't about fear. Don't be afraid. Don't be intimidated when people don't receive the Word of God through you. Keep going. Keep stirring up the gifts of God, Timothy, and church. Keep stirring them up. How many of you have ever made a cup of hot chocolate with the mix, with that powder mix? If you set it down on the counter because it's too hot to drink and you come back later because you forgot it, how many think the first thing you do is take a big swig? If you take a big swig, have you been disappointed like I have when I've done that? Oh, there's lava! Because it all settles back down, doesn't it? Stir it up so the chocolate's all through it again. And then it's a better taste. Don't abandon the gift of Jesus in your life. Don't let the chocolate, don't let your faith settle to the bottom. Keep it stirred so your drink is hot, so your spirit is hot and on fire for Jesus, refreshing and satisfying. And don't become complacent in your faith with Jesus. Paul's going to use illustrations. And he uses them over and over in the scripture. Say it with me, would you please? Athlete, soldier, and farmer. We've been saying over and over again, complacent is the enemy of true faith. Make a choice. Follow hard after the Lord Jesus as disciples of His. Stand up! Stand up for Jesus. Bring His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Yes, We face spiritual opposition, and the devil wants us to forget God. In the midst of the heat, in the midst of the trauma, in the midst of the problem, the devil wants us to forget God. Because when we do, we're neutralized. How can the power of God flow through a saint who's forgotten their God? So don't forget. Keep him stirred up. Walk by grace, but understand there is opposition. There is an enemy to the faith and to our soul. Remember with me, church. Are you all with me? You all tracking with me? Remember, what did the devil do with Jesus when he met him in the wilderness? He quoted the scripture to him. Remember? So, you can have a lot of deception with scripture quoting going on. How did Jesus answer him? With the scripture. Rightly applied word of God. How do you know how to rightly apply the word of God? You got to be in the word of God. Someone say amen or oh no. You got to be in the word of God. So right back at him, rightly applied word of God defeated the devil and encouraged Jesus in his walk with God. So too, let us wage spiritual warfare. Run our race, work our fields, and the victory of the Lord is ours. The Bible tells us, Timothy, in 1 through 6 of chapter 2, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now you've got a job to do. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Endure suffering along with me as a good what? As a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life. Then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. And athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. And hardworking farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor. So you have athlete, you have soldier, and you have farmer. The mentor, once again, calling his protege, his Timothy, his son in the faith, to walk through the hardship, walk through the suffering, with understanding that these things are easy to relate with, and they will remind you of your need in the Lord. Number one, being a soldier. These images, guys, these images were ripe for these people. And we come along in 2 Timothy, and we have to understand some of the history. But do you know what was going on in that place where Roman soldiers on every hand, all over the place. The Jews hated them in their land. They're in their disciplined marching, and they've got their weaponry on and their swords by their side and their helmets on. And Paul says, okay, I want you to see them and get a spiritual understanding of how you're to be equipped, how you're to be prepared, how you're to walk. This could relate to where they were. Roman soldier had a single-minded purpose, a rigorous discipline. I don't want to get up and go to church. I don't want it. I don't want to read the word today. And that's just from your pastor. But, you know, we're all in it. Just, oh, man, I want to sleep in. But here we are. God bless you for being here this morning. Look at each other this morning and say, God bless you, you're great. But the Roman soldier dedicated himself to obedience because he wanted to please or walk with and surrender to obedience to the commanding officer who recruited him. An athlete. The metaphor was right. The Corinthian Games, the Olympic Games, they were all there. And the competitors, if you were a competitor, you had to pledge that you had given it rigorous discipline for 10 months prior to that game. Every athletic event had its boundaries, its rules. You had to subscribe to them. Those who failed to discipline themselves were disqualified. Now, thank God we're saved by grace. But how are we going to walk? Walk by faith. As a student of the Word and loving Him and preparing and running our race. Turn to each other and say, run your race, dude or dudette. Soldier, athlete, farmer, number three, hardworking farmers. How many in this room have ever been a farmer? Man, some of the hardest work you've ever done in your life, right? Some of the hardest work you've ever done in your life, people say, hey, man, they just popped a seed in the ground, come back months later, harvest, and get rich. How many know that's not the life of a farmer? You know, how many farmers have lost everything? The sun blights and the crops go under. There's no moisture. The rain, they're dependent on God. Hard working. In contrast, Paul is doing with lazy and idle workers. The diligence in each case has its own reward. The point is, success is achieved through discipline, hard work, and single-mindedness. Pastor Kev, are you trying to add works to my salvation? No. But we do cooperate with God in our walk. You're saved by grace through faith, and only through faith. By His grace, by His mercy, all the things we sing about all morning long. Man, Pastor Sherry, fantastic opening. Man, you know, you're really good. You ought to stick around.
You might be a little French.
All right. His mercy endures forever. His grace endures forever. And God wanted us to know it over and over and over again, repeated it 36 times, was it? Or was it 136 times? Oh, Psalm 136. 26 times. His mercy endures forever. You know, if you turn to each other, and I'm not going to make you do it. I do interchange you a lot with each other. If you turn to each other and said 36 times, 26 times in a row, His mercy endures forever, the other person sitting next to you might say, well, you just shut up. I got it the first time. But God wouldn't shut up because He wants you to know it. So we're not saved by our works, but we cooperate with Him and we grow in Him and we give ourselves to it. No matter what discipline, career, anything you did in life, you had to give yourself to a decision and to follow through on that decision to accomplish it. As a studier of the Word of God, as a Christian, we ought to be the best we can be. As somebody obeying the Lord, bringing His kingdom on earth, we ought to be the best we could be. Someone say amen. Stay in the Word. The final authority, plumb line. We talked about the final authority last week. We talked about the plumb line. And I will tell you, I'm going to give you my own personal conviction, and I won't be shy about it. I believe God has a plumb line sitting right now on the United States of America. And I am convinced when we have killed 60 million babies on the altar of lust, calling it convenience, I believe we will have to face our God. When there have been babies who never had a chance to live their lives, what will happen? Can God forgive? Of course. Does God have mercy? You bet. But I believe there is a plumb line over our nation. And I think as God's people, we need to understand, yes, God has already done it. He's already provided it. But we've used the illustration. Cease can give you his Mustang all day long, but until you turn the keys, put them in the ignition, turn it on and drive it away, it ain't yours. It ain't yours anyway. But until you do that, there's no gift that you've received. We need mercy. We need God's intervention. The plumb line in our own lives are what we need to embrace. Stay in the Word. The Word of God. Hold up your Bible, will you please? Don't you just love your Bible? Yes. Used to go to bed every night in college as a teenager. And I would hold my Bible on my chest. And I would just thank God for it. And I just thank you, Lord, for William Tyndale and others who wrote a Bible in English that we could understand and got the Word of God to us. I just thank God. Lord, let that Word be applied to our lives. Look at the Scripture. Study to show thyself approved, 2 Timothy 2:15. Unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Other Scripture, same Scripture, but New American Standard. Be diligent, study, be diligent, to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. I'm going to give you a few final points as we take a look at making a choice. Number one, read up. Say it with me. Read up. Read up. Timothy was a protege of a brilliant teacher, an apostle, and a man of God, again, who wrote most of the New Testament. Paul was brilliant, able to foundationally teach the Word of God cross-culturally, and he devoured what word he had in the Old Testament, and Timothy loved it. And you find, as you read 2 Timothy toward the end of his life, there are only two things, really. He asked three things. Timothy, I want you to come. You come. And then he said, two things I want you to bring. Bring my cloak, because it's cold in here. And then what did he say? Bring the parchments. Bring the Word of God. Because no matter how long I have on this earth, I want to be in the Word of God. I want to accurately handle the Word of God. I want to do my best. You know, you guys, we don't understand the Word of God perfectly. But I believe that our hearts are to be inclined to God to say, as much as I can understand, I want to do my best to understand and walk it out. Right? I don't want to get as far away from God and be okay as I can be. I want to get as close to God as I can. So, Lord, write your Word in my heart and on my mind. And that word study, the Greek word spoudazo. Say it with me, Greek scholars. Spoudazo. To use speed. Make effort. Be prompt. Be earnest. Give diligence. Give it your earnest attention. Read the Word. Give it your effort. It's worth your effort. Be biblically literate. Be in the Bible. While the amount of daily reading has decreased in our country, still the Bible remains the number one selling book in all the world, in all time. Owned, not always read, but I still thank God that it's still owned. Let the Bible be your final authority in faith and practice. Come on, can you say with me what he says? Come on, say it. What he says goes. So whatever isn't what he says, better go. If you're here this morning and you don't have a Bible translation that speaks to your heart, you're not understanding, please see Pastor Sherry afterwards, or see me, or some of the others who are reading different versions that they love and enjoy. We want you to love and enjoy the Word of God so you can be in it daily. That's why the Message version was even written. Eugene Peterson wrote it for his children. Kenneth Taylor, back to the old. How many remember the original Living Bible? The original Living Bible. Now they got a revised Living. It's still good. It's all right. But he wrote it for his kids. For people to love reading the Bible again. I just thank God for these people. Even if you read the Bible a psalm a day, it washes your soul clean. Be in the Word of God. Some read TV Guide. Some people that don't want to read the Bible, wow, they'll read the internet. And you can be sure they'll read Facebook because they know what you're up to. I've never understood why somebody goes to a restaurant, snaps a picture, and wants the world to know what they're eating. I sit there and I go, just eat your meal. I don't care. But people will follow that stuff fastidiously, but don't have time to read the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, your word I've hidden, New American translation is, your word I have treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Wow. It's powerful, isn't it? Come on, church. Isn't that powerful? And the word hid, the word I've hid, means by covering over. By implication, your word, I've hoarded it. Did you ever hoard anything? I had an uncle, kind of a step uncle one time. He had pennies everywhere, just all over, all in his glove compartment, all over the floorboards of his car, boxes and boxes. Finally, I turned to him one day, I was just a little kid. I said, well, what do you do with all these pennies? He goes, I'm hoarding them. Why would you hoard pennies? There's always a billion of them around. But the Word of God, hoard it. Reserve it. Protect it. Guard your heart, the Bible says. Read up. Number two, fess up. People look at me and go, why don't we just leave it on the last one? You know, listen, you guys, the biggest challenge in our walk every day and our faith walk, and I could just personalize it, but I happen to think I know you well enough to know you're like me, is that we blow it every now and then. Whether it's an attitude or a harsh word, something we say, something we think. It may not be the big things we did before we got saved, but our attitudes aren't always like Jesus. You know, the devil throws at you, you'll never be able to make a difference. You're not good enough. You don't know enough. You're not walking good enough. How can you share with anybody about Jesus? And you look and you go, thank God, He already made provision for that. He already covered me, cleansed me, but I come to Him and fess up when I know I've done something wrong. It's what the Bible says, isn't it? How many know that the 1 John 1:9 was written for Christians? How many know that? How many think the Bible was written for Christians? Come on, I should see every hand in the place. How many know the Bible was written for Christians? Come on, turn to each other and say, don't you know that? The Bible's written for Christians. If we confess our sins, I'd like you to read it out loud with me. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things I write to you, the apostle said, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Thank God, huh? Bring it to Him. He washes you clean from sin. And when you fess up, repent, turn from it. You don't make a habit of running after it. When you make a habit of running after Him and you fess up, what does the Bible say that happens now? Watch. Romans 8:1. Read it with me out loud. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Revival is birthed from praying people who love Jesus, who love their neighbors, who reach out with His Word, who aren't necessarily perfect but are forgiven. You have a loving God who watches over you every moment of every day. You don't have to shout at Him to get His attention. You can whisper to Him, Father, I thank You so much for loving me, because You proved it through Jesus. You're right with Him through the shed blood of Jesus. Fess up if there's anything that separates you. It's as easy as turning back to the one you love, confessing and being forgiven. And then when you've done that, that's when you say, guess what? I'm flawless by what He's done for me at the cross. The cross has made me flawless. Read up, fess up, rise up. Say it with me, rise up. You're a champion in Jesus. You're dangerous. You do damage to darkness. Why? Because you are in Him. You're in Him. Colossians 3, verse 3. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Out of the Message, your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. Believe, proclaim, walk in that provision. It's not arrogant to be confident in Christ of who He is and who He is inside of you. That's not arrogant. That's just agreeing with the Word of God. Believe it. Walk in His provision. What He said, I'm hidden with Christ in God. Devil comes around and tempts you and say, whoa, I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. Matthew 28:18-19, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Out of the New King James, Acts 1:8, then we see what happened. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses, the word is in the Greek martus, martyrs. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And you find in Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God is poured out and God fulfills His Word. And His people are filled with dynamite, dunamis, the Greek word is. You're filled with dynamic power to go carry forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. Put on the whole armor of God. Understand what He's made of you. Understand that you're clean by the blood of Jesus. Understand the sin is gone and that Jesus is here. And you've got a whole world to help reach for Jesus Christ. How many can say amen? Our God is good. And what He's done is provided the victory. And we can now walk in Him because of it. He's given us His authority. Three kinds. Positional authority. It's what he's done for us. Provisional authority. He's provided. He's given it all to us. And we walk out in the daily grind of life with practical authority. We grow in living what he's done. I want you to say one more thing with me. He's done it, and that settles it. Say it again. He's done it, and that settles it. Used to be a phrase that went, he's done it, I agree with it, and that settles it. You can take the whole middle part out. Doesn't matter if you agree or not. He's done it, it's done. That settles it. Now, I could activate it a lot more in my life, the provision of Jesus, if I receive it and walk in it. But he's done it. That settles it. Shine, Jesus, shine. Shine through us. In every dark and dying corner of this globe, let your word go forth. Read up, fess up, rise up, and shine on. Why? Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This morning I want to urge you, let your hearts burn hot for Jesus. Stir up the gift of God. Make your choice. The word says it. That settles it. And I receive it. Just stand with me as we do this last scripture together. Musicians, come on up. We're going to read this together. Make your choice. Joshua 24, verse 15. Joshua 24. Joshua 24, verse 15. Read it out loud with me and boom it out, church. We might do it a couple of times. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Again. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. One more time. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Jesus, we thank you for all that you have done for us. We come to you this morning as your people, filled with thanksgiving for all that you've done for us. We get to read up, we get to fess up, and we get to rise up. Lord, we thank you for the richness of your word and all that you are. Jesus, as we look at this world, we look at people that need a lot of love. We look at a lot of people that need you desperately. And we say, Lord, here we are. Use us. We say yes to you. We love you, Jesus. Now bless each one as they go from this place to know that they can be built up in the Spirit of God and that the choice is made. Thank you, Lord. If you're here this morning and the Lord has spoken to your heart and you need to take time and prayer with someone, there'll be a couple of people over here. Come grab one of us and we'll pray for you. If you need healing in your body, we'll be honored to pray for you. If you're a guest with us, come back again and celebrate with us because God is so good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Do you raise your hands for the blessing, please? Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. They all said?
Amen.
Amen.